You have to bear with me tonight. I'm battling a head cold. And it's worse tonight than it was this morning. I think everybody has the cold. There's a lot of it going about. Mark chapter 1, we'll commence to read it. Verse 21. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And that even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and with them that were possessed with devils. Let's just bow for a word of prayer as we come to be busy for the Lord Jesus Christ. It tells us there that those who he met and those who had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, if you read that portion there, as we have done, you will discover that it was a very happy day for those who met the Lord. Whenever they had met the Lord, they felt his touch, they were set free, they were delivered. It was a happy day for them. They had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here tonight and you're not saved. Maybe there's still sin in your life, there's still sin in your heart. You've never came to that point in your life when you've called upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. You've never taken the sinner's place. You've never got down before the Lord and cried out in mercy, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner. Take away my sin. What a happy day that is. 339, the hymn that we are just after singing. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. It's a day that we never forget. You know, as I go around the doors and I approach everyone, I don't know what's behind any door. I don't know who they are. I don't know what they'll be like. I don't know how the conversation will go. That's the thing I like about it, by the way. I enjoy that. But you open the door and they say hello, and I say hello back. I'll reach them forward the invitation, the gospel track. I'll say, we're out and about today giving out gospel literature and a wee leaflet about the church. Thank you very much. Or else they'll tell you they don't want it. But most people will take it at that stage. And by that stage, it's in their hand. My next question to them then is, do you go to church yourself? And they'll say, oh yes, of course I do. And they think that's good enough. I'll move on then to the next person. But the question after that is then, will you say that you're saved? You see, most people today in this country say that they're Christian, but there's very few people say that they're saved. If you ask the majority of people that, who are good-living, self-righteous, they'll have to say, well, I just wouldn't go that far. I'm not just sure. I hope so. Their answer is uncertain. But if you're here tonight and you're saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, you'll know you're saved. Because there'll be a day in the experience of your life when you were broken, when you realized that you were a sinner, when you realized that you were helpless and hopeless before a holy God, you took the sinner's place, you admitted that you were born in sin, you realized there was sin in your heart and sin in your life, and you called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of that sin and to take that sin away. That's when you know that you're saved. Sometimes I say that to people and they say, oh, I don't like that question. And I'll say, why? They'll say, it's because it's a personal thing. I had a young girl answer the door a number of weeks ago, and nice looking young girl she was. She came out to the door, not that tall, not that big, very quiet and very nice. She opened the door, I gave her the literature. She said, thank you very much. And I asked her, was she saved? And she went, oh, what a change there was in the person then. That's none of your business. Frankly, that's none of your business. And the more she thought about it, the more it was none of my business. She told me about five times it was none of my business. And then I said, when I got a chance, I said, I suppose you're right. It's none of my business. It's none of my business. It's a personal thing. Yes, it is a personal thing. I said, it's a personal decision between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful day it is. If you're saved tonight, you'll want to tell others about it. You shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight if you're saved. What a happy thing it is. It's a wonderful thing to be saved, knowing that your sins are washed away, knowing that you're going home to heaven, knowing that the Lord is your Savior, and that you can live every day of your life for Him. In the Sabbath day in Mark chapter 1, there were those who met the Lord. In the early part of the reading, we read about a man who was delivered from an unclean spirit. The Lord had set him free. What a wonderful, glorious day that was for that man. He had met the Lord. In verse 23, it tells us a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out. He was in such turmoil and in such grievance. He was crying out to the Lord. And the Lord says in verse 25 and 26, hold thy peace and come out of him. The Lord cleansed him. He took the unclean spirit away. He set the man free. In the afternoon, the Lord went to the home of Simon Peter. He restored his sick mother-in-law. She was lying there in verse 29 to 31 with a great fever. Then in the evening, in verse 32, we see that the Lord healed many again who were devil-possessed. Even though the Lord Jesus Christ had a very busy day, it tells us there in verse 35 that in the morning he rose up a great while before day and went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. There's a lesson there for the Christian. Sometimes we get up in the morning, we've had a late night or we're tired, we don't have time to pray. The body, we're weary, we're tired. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There was the Lord Jesus Christ, and even though he did have a busy Sabbath day, he still rose up early and had the quiet place in verse 35. We have to conclude tonight, after reading that there tonight, that the Lord Jesus Christ is without a doubt the most famous person that has ever lived, the most famous person that has ever walked this earth. You go to any country in the world, and the majority of people, some people, most people, will have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. There are those people across the world who have done many great things. You think of those who discovered gravity. You think of those who invented the telephone. You think of somebody who invented electric. Somebody that discovered, I don't know, all of the great things that there are. A hairdryer. Who invented a hairdryer? You can't remember those things. You don't know those things. Yes, they're significant things, and they're things that we use all the time. But the Lord Jesus Christ is somebody, a person that the majority of people today know about. They have heard about the Lord. They don't know him as their Savior, but they just know about him. They have a head knowledge about the Lord. And it tells us here in our reading tonight, in verse 28, and immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. It was because of what the Lord was doing, people were hearing about him. He was setting people free from bondage. He was healing the sick. He was doing marvelous things of that day, and people heard about this. People talked about this, and people knew about the Lord. And I want to tell you tonight about the Lord Jesus Christ. I was chatting. I went out one Saturday morning and I got three doors done. And in the three doors there was only one person at home. But the Lord would have it in his providence that I was there at that door. It was a chap who's at university all week and he's only home at the weekend. And I had a great chat with that fellow that morning. A tremendous talk. And he started to tell me that the Bible is just like any other historical record, any other piece of history about people that have done great things. And that's where I was going earlier. He started to tell me about people that did this, and people that did that, and people that found this, and people that found that. And I said, friend, with all due respect, I have never heard of one of those people. But I'm sure you have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I have. And I said, do you know why that is? Because the Lord Jesus Christ is no ordinary man. Those people are great. Those people are very smart and have achieved a lot of great things. But I said, the Lord Jesus Christ is extraordinary. He's the Son of God. He died on the cross to take away your sin. And do you know what's so special about the Lord Jesus Christ? He loved you so much that he died on the cross at Calvary to shed his precious blood that you might go free. That's what's special about the Lord. I don't know if you're here tonight and you've ever met anybody famous. No? Well, there's maybe somebody famous that you've met in your lifetime. If you haven't met anybody famous, see me afterwards and then you'll be able to say you have. Very good. You've maybe met nobody famous. And maybe we never will. We'll never be famous as far as men are concerned. And we'll never meet anybody of any recognition in the eyes of man. But tonight I want to introduce you to the most famous person that has ever lived. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. What makes him so special? He is the Savior of man. All down through the channels of time, people all through the ages have heard about the Lord. It tells us in verse 28, the news of what he was doing was spreading abroad. Maybe you have heard about this man, Jesus. Maybe you have heard plenty about this man. Can I ask you tonight, do you know him as your Savior? Is he your Savior and your friend too? That hymn that we sang is my favorite hymn. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. That's a tremendous thing to be saved, you know. It's a tremendous peace in your heart. You can put your head in the pillow at night and know that if you don't wake up in the morning, it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. Everywhere you go, the Lord is with you. Every step you take, the Lord is there. He's a friend that sticks closer than any brother. He knows what lies around the corner. We see the corner, but we don't know what's around it. The Lord knows all about it. And He holds us in the hollow of His hand. What a wonderful thing it is to have Him as your Savior. I trust tonight as we leave this message with you that you'll, as you are introduced tonight to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see the beauty of Christ, that you will want to have Him as your Savior too. It's very interesting, you know, to discover the subject of Peter's mother-in-law in the Bible. Some would try and tell us that Peter was the first pope. And they would try and teach the teaching of celibacy within that religion. Well, that can't be. Because in my experience, to have a mother-in-law, you must be married. And Peter had a mother-in-law, so therefore he was married. Some commentators would even say that he had children. You may be waiting for my mother-in-law jokes. Well, I can't tell any mother-in-law jokes because I have a good mother-in-law. But I'm sure I don't know if you could or not. But Peter had a mother-in-law, and she lay sick. And we want to notice tonight the portrait of the sinner. In the illness that this woman had, we see very clearly the portrait of the sinner. The physical condition of Peter's mother-in-law is a picture of men and women today. Let us remind ourselves of the verses again. Verse 30. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. This woman in verse 30 was lying there. She was unwell. She was sick with a fever. Sin is a fever as well, you know. Sin is just like a disease that eats away at the body. It has laid hold on every member of the human race. We are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. How do you know tonight if you have a fever? You say to me, I'm not a sinner. There's no sin in my life. How do you know if there's a disease that has laid hold upon your body? How did Peter's family know that his mother-in-law had a fever? How did they know? Well, she was experiencing extreme weakness. It tells us there in Mark 1 and verse 30 that she was also, it's a parallel passage, that she was there lying sick with a fever. She was helpless. She was lying there without strength. She was lying prostrate, overcome with exhaustion. What a picture of the sinner that is. As her family looked upon her that day, they saw that she had a great fever. They knew that she was unwell. I told you this morning that our little boy was in hospital. He has had a very high temperature or fever this number of days. And Friday morning, he got up and his arm was swollen and he had a very bad rash on the arm. Of course, you take him to the doctor straight away with the young child. But how do we know? Because we've seen it. We knew it. We could feel it. We understood it and we grasped it. And we were well aware that our little boy wasn't well. And Peter's mother-in-law, she was the same. As they watched her, as they looked upon her, they understood that she wasn't well. They knew that she was overcome with a fever. And you know, as we look at you tonight, friend, in your sin, there's people that are close to you, people that are near and dear to you, and they know that you're not saved. You don't profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've left no testimony so far in your life. You don't lay claim to the Lord Jesus Christ. People know that you're still in your sin, either by your behavior, by the way that you live your life, by the things that you do, by the things that you say, by the way that you've lived your life so far. As they looked at this woman, they knew that the fever had taken hold upon her. What a picture this is of the sinner. When sin takes hold, my, what hold it takes. What grip it has. Luke, in chapter 4, verse 38, Luke himself was a doctor. He describes it as a great fever. He looked upon it and it was not only just an ordinary fever, but it was a great fever. Not just a small one, but she lay there. She was weak. She was helpless. Romans 5 and 6 tells us, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Can you remember the last time you had a fever? You were without strength. You were weak. That's just like the sinner. When we were yet without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. Not only was she weak, but she was restless. A fever will cause a patient to be in a constant state of unrest, tossing and turning. If you have children and you go into them at night and check them before you go to bed, if they have a temperature, they're turning and writhing about in the bed. At least mine are. And you know there's something not right. You feel their head, you feel their arms, you feel their hands and how they burn with that fever. You know they're not well. They're restless. They're tossing and turning. Do you know somebody that have still sin in their heart. They're restless. They're not content. They're not happy. There's no peace within their life. There's no peace within their heart. Sin is to blame for all of the unrest and all of the discontentment in the world today. People say, if there's a God in heaven, how can all of these bad things happen? Sin is to blame. Sin is to blame. 2 weeks ago, I did a series on creation. And whenever God created the heavens and the earth, you read it sometime in Genesis chapter 1. After God said everything and made everything, after he made it, he said it was good. God couldn't make anything that was evil. God couldn't make anything that was less than perfect, because God himself is perfect and God himself is holy. All of the tragedy, all of the disaster, all of the helplessness and the hopelessness of man is as a result of sin. Sin is to blame. What discontentment sin brings into families. What heartache, what hardship it brings into the hearts of young people, of men and women, of boys and girls. It makes them restless for pleasure. It has them craving a good time. Not only was she weak, restless, but she was thirsty. A fever-stricken patient will have a craving for liquids. Their throat will be dry and parched. They'll want that fluid to go down and to quench that thirst within their body. And deep down in the hearts of men and women today, those still in their sin, they're thirsting after the things of pleasure. They're thirsting after the things of time and sense, but they'll never satisfy. I'm sure there are maybe those tonight in our gathering. You've been out in the world. You've lived a life in the world, and the Lord has saved you. How the Lord has set you free. There's one man in particular, Balamuni. I've visited him a number of times now, and the alcohol has a desperate grip on that man's life. He's a young chap. He had so much potential in his life. Great job, great marriage, beautiful big home. My things were going well. A lovely car. But drink got the better of that man. And all of that's gone. No job, no wife, no home. Doesn't even have a license. Your friend, when sin takes a hold, it really takes a grip. And you go after those things. You crave after those things. But those things never satisfy. Oh yes, there's pleasure in the world for a season. Yes, you will have enjoyment. Yes, you will have a good time. You will enjoy those things. But they never satisfy. Now, none but Christ can satisfy. If you're a young person in the meeting tonight, young person, you be careful the choices that you make in life. You be careful the friends that you make. You be careful the things that you do with your time. You be very careful the things that you do in life, because those choices that you make could destroy the rest of your life and damn your soul for all of God's eternity. I said this morning, the alcoholic never intended to be an alcoholic with his first drink. The gambler never intended to be a gambler with his first bet. But that's the grip that sin has upon the lives of men and women. There's only satisfaction found in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only peace and contentment found with the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know? Well, you turn over to John chapter 4. You look it up for yourself. John chapter 4 and the verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." What peace, what joy, what contentment the Lord gives. The Lord satisfies. The Lord gives you that contentment. The Lord gives you that peace that you don't have here tonight, because you're still in your sin. You don't know the Lord is your Savior. She was weak. She was restless. She was thirsty. She suffered from depression and delusions. Anybody with a high temperature or a high fever is always overwhelmed with things out of perspective. Things are never how they seem. They have a bad feeling of depression. There's a bad feeling in their mind and their heart. This is just the way that sin depresses the life and the mind and the heart. It deludes the sinner. It clouds the mind and numbs the spirit. It fools the person into thinking that things are not really how they seem. That's just like the fever. It's just like sin. Things appear different than how they really are. I remember whenever I was a child, I had a temperature one night. And Mom decided to clean my teeth before I went to bed. The temperature was so high, I had no idea or no grasp as to what was happening. And you know how you clean your teeth and you spit the stuff in the sink? Mom told me to do that, but I turned and spat it across the floor of the bathroom. I had no idea. I had no grasp as to where I was or what I was doing, because the fever was that high. That's just what it is for you tonight, friend. You're still in your sin. You have no grasp of things. the sin is clouding your mind. You have no clear thought. Your thoughts aren't your own. It's the devil. The devil is leading you on, and you're following in that way, and eventually you're going to be lost. Friend, Christ can set you free. Not only do we see this woman's position, but we see the power of the Savior. In verse 30, it tells us here, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell him of her. This means they told the Lord Jesus Christ at once. The Lord Jesus Christ was informed at once about the condition of this woman. These men told the Lord about this woman's fever. They told him about her problem. He saw and they saw her need immediately. I wonder tonight, do you see your need tonight? Here was the family of this woman, and they saw her need. They realized that she was ill, and they told the Lord. I wonder, do you see your need tonight of a Savior? Do you realize that you're a sinner? Do you realize that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun? Do you realize that you're not here forever? You know, to see some Christians today, you would think that they're here forever. The Bible says that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. There's a challenge for us there. Our treasure should be in heaven. Yes, it's nice to have nice things. But listen, you're only passing through. And it doesn't matter how much you have or how much you haven't. If come the end of your journey, if you were to give it all, you couldn't buy 60 seconds. You couldn't buy 60 seconds. Do you know the most precious thing that you have besides your salvation and your soul? Is time. Time. Nobody, not one of us, could buy 60 seconds more. Imagine. We need to spend our time wisely. We need to spend our time wisely before the Lord. Unsaved person, do you see your need of Christ? Whenever they had told the Lord Jesus Christ about this woman, in verse 31 it tells us, and the Lord came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. I think that's lovely. The very moment that the Lord heard about this, he came and he took her by the hand. He lifted her up immediately. The fever left her. Luke chapter 4, 39 tells us, he stood over her and rebuked the fever and it left her. We can clearly see the power of the Savior. Imagine the power of the Savior coming to this woman who was lying there, helpless and hopeless of herself. The power of the Savior was sympathetic. He was sympathetic to this woman lying there. How do we know? Because it tells us he stood over her. He stood over her, or he literally bent over this woman. The Lord Jesus Christ had the power to deliver her. He had the power to set her free. The Lord's sympathetic to you tonight because he's in this meeting. The Lord's sympathetic to you tonight and he's gracious because tonight he has given you another opportunity to get right with God. Another invitation to come and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another opportunity to forsake your sin and to look to him. He's gracious to you tonight. He's showing you mercy. He's showing you love. The power of the Lord is boundless. It's unmeasurable. It flowed out of him in deep sympathy, in tenderness, and in love to this woman. The power was not only sympathetic, but it was dynamic. Because the Lord rebuked the fever in Luke 4 and 39, and it obeyed him. Why is this? Why did the fever have to obey the word of the Lord? It tells us tonight that the Lord Jesus Christ is no ordinary man. He's an extraordinary man. He's the God-man. I told you tonight I want to introduce you to the most famous person, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the most famous person that ever lived has taken an interest in you. Imagine. Maybe you're here tonight and you support a football team. Maybe you're here tonight and there's somebody in the world and you just idolize it. Maybe it's a footballer because of his skill. Maybe it's a sportsman because of their ability in that sport. I don't know who your star is tonight. But there's somebody in your life that you would just love to meet for whatever reason. And imagine they did. Imagine they turned up on your doorstep tonight or tomorrow and shook your hand and come in and had a cup of tea and took you out for a meal and give you their autograph and spent time with you. You'd be tickled pink, wouldn't you? The person that I idolize, the person that I almost worship, they have taken an interest in me. That famous person has taken time out of their schedule to come and see me. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ has taken an interest in you. And it's more than that because he loved you and he died on the cross to save you. Now what do? You don't listen. If your idol came to your home, would you shut the door in their face and say, go away, I don't want you? You'd nearly drop. You'd faint. You couldn't believe it. You'd invite them in and you'd make a fuss. But the Lord Jesus Christ invites you to come and trust Him for salvation. And you walk out those doors as if it doesn't matter. You trample underfoot His precious blood that He shed for you on the cross at Calvary. Lord Jesus Christ, He loves you tonight. He reveals His love and extends His power and His mercy to all of those here tonight who are sick with the fever of sin. Just as the Lord rebuked the fever and it obeyed Him, so too He will take away your sin. I think Pilgrim put it well. John Bunyan put it well in Pilgrim's Progress. Whenever the weight was lifted off Pilgrim's back, the chorus, the children's chorus, puts it well. Rolled away and never come back. Rolled away, never come back. On the burden of my heart, it rolled away and it never came back. Do you know why? Because Jesus took the burdens all away. That's why it's not coming back. Because Jesus has taken it all away. But what you have to do is come and ask Him. You need to repent of your sin. You need to believe on Him and trust Him for salvation. The power of the Lord was also immediate. Because it tells us there that in verse 31, He lifted her up by the hand and immediately the fever left her. There wasn't a getting better process. It was she who didn't feel better over a process of time. It was an instant cure. Of course, it's wonderful when somebody slowly comes back to a full measure of health and strength. It's tremendous. But whenever you get saved, it's different. It's that moment. I was speaking to a young girl the other day on the doors, and I know the young girl, and I had said to her about getting saved. This young girl knows the gospel inside out and back to front and upside down in every way you possibly could know it. And I said to her about getting saved, and she said, "Listen," she said, "the time just isn't right just now." And I said, "Well, will the right time be?" And she says, "I don't know." I said, "The Bible says now is the accepted time and now is the day of salvation. If you were to come to the Lord Jesus Christ now, tonight, in the very seat where you sit tonight to call upon Him for salvation, you would be saved right here and right now. You would go out of this building a changed person. You would be united in Christ, saved on the road that leads to heaven and to home, trusting in Him in faith for salvation." This woman was cured from that very moment, just like you can be tonight, friend. Your sin can be gone. The Lord Jesus Christ is here and He wants to grant to you a complete pardon. He wants to take away your sin. Peter's mother-in-law became conscious of the Savior's power in three ways. He bent over her. She saw His face. I wonder, do you see the face of Christ tonight? He rebuked the fever. She heard His voice. Do you hear a speaking voice tonight in the meeting? Is it just another meeting to you? Are you sitting thinking about the time? Oh, this boy will be nearly over. I'll get away out of here. I'll be going here, there, and yonder. Do you hear the speaking voice of the Lord Jesus Christ? He lifted her up, and she felt His touch. The proof of salvation is our final point tonight. What was the proof that the fever really had left this woman? How do we know that she really did look better? How do we know that she really was better? How do we know that the fever really did leave her? Well, Matthew chapter 8 and 15 tells us exactly. It's a parallel passage to Mark. It tells us there, "And He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them." The two evidences, or the two proofs that this woman really was cured was this. She arose and she ministered. Now listen to this. This is important tonight. She arose and she ministered. How do we know that she really was cured? Because these two things are always present where a work of grace has been wrought in the heart. If you're really saved tonight, how do you know that you're really saved? Maybe you're here tonight and you're not sure if you're saved or not. The devil has come in and he's causing you to doubt. You lack assurance. You're not just really sure. Am I saved or am I not saved? Well, if you're saved tonight, these two things will be present. She arose. That speaks of new life. That speaks of new life. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, old things pass away and all things become new. If you're really saved tonight, you'll want new friends. You'll want to keep new company. You'll be coming to new places. You'll have a new heart, new desires, new joys. You'll have a new peace and a new contentment that you never had before. Not only did she arise, but she ministered. That speaks of service. She ministered unto them there. I don't mean that the Lord's going to save you and then next week He's going to take you to the mission field. But what I mean is when the Lord saves you, you'll want to tell others about Him. That's why I can never understand when somebody stands on the doorstep of their home and says to me, I ask them, are they saved? And they'll say, well, I'm not sure. Or, yes, I am, but I don't like to shout it from the mountaintop. Or they nearly bury it in the sand. To me, if you're saved, you'll want to tell others. Because it's such a wonderful story. It's such a wonderful thing. That speaks of service. You'll want to speak a word for the Lord. Whenever we get saved, we have new life and we want to serve our new master. The Bible says we can't serve two masters. It's either one or the other. You're either serving the devil tonight or you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever we yield to the power of the Savior, we see the proof of His salvation in our hearts. We rise to new life and we have perfect freedom. I wonder tonight, will you be free from your sin? I wonder tonight, will you be restored? I wonder, will you trust Christ? You know, I'll put it this way to you. You hear the Lord speaking to you tonight. You know that it's time you were saved. If I was to call at your home tomorrow on my outreach, it's amazing the amount of people that don't answer their door. You wouldn't believe that, but it's true. I see them scurrying about the house before I ring the bell or knock the door. And very often I give them the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes people's doorbells don't work. It's true, you know. You press the bell and it doesn't work. Nobody comes, but you know they're there because you've seen them and you hear them. Then I'll knock the door with the knocker or the letterbox and they still don't come. It's at that stage that I put the literature through the letterbox. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is here tonight and He's calling you unto Himself in salvation. And time and time and time again, you have heard the Lord speak to you. It's time to get saved. Get saved tonight. I love you. I died on the cross to save you. Come and trust me for salvation. Come and taste and see that the Lord is good. And the Lord invites you time and time and time again. And every time you say no, what if this was to be the last time that the Lord was to invite you to trust Him? Oh yes, that can happen. Genesis 6 and 3, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I knock the door twice. I'll put the literature through the door and then I'll go on to the next door. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ is a gracious God. He's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish. Why don't you trust Him tonight? Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we give Thee thanks for Thy leave, for the invitation and the gospel.